You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good Sunday morning, New England. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. He's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston, and we're joined on the phone by the opinion editor of the Metro West Daily News, Rick Holmes. Rick, you've got an interesting piece in this morning's paper. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, I have written this morning about the Bo Bergdahl case. I wrote a column a year ago about the POW-MIA flags, retelling some of the story of that flag and the Vietnam POW experience, and arguing that those flags were historical relics that didn't have a lot of that there weren't really good reasons for them to be treated as secondary only to the American flag, flying on every public flagpole and so on. That sparked a lot of reaction. Some of it, to be expected, was negative. Some of it was surprisingly positive. I revisited the issue this week in writing about the Bo Bergdahl case. And my basic argument was that, the myth of the POW, that all POWs are heroes and that we will never betray them, we will never spare any effort to bring the POWs back, has frayed a little bit between Donald Trump saying that John McCain was no hero, he doesn't like heroes who get caught, and now with the Bo Bergdahl case, Trump, among others, saying that he's a traitor and should be shot. So nobody was willing to too interested in giving POW Bo Bergdahl, who suffered longer and harder treatment than any POW since Vietnam, and yet he's not going to the sentence. He's facing a life imprisonment. So there's a lot of sort of twists and turns in that, and my main conclusion is that POWs aren't heroes, and they aren't traitors. They're political footballs, and that's the way it's been for the last 50 years.
Well, that may be, but Bergdahl wasn't captured, in combat. He was a deserter and got stupid and got caught.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah, and
but I guess so. Should we not have tried to bring him back?
You know what? Maybe not.
When somebody is taken prisoner in war, we should sort of sit down and figure out whether we like their politics or not, or whether we think they're smart or not. I think that's fine if that's what the new rule is.
Well, I don't know that Bergdahl has any politics, to be honest. He's probably apolitical. I think he didn't like being where he was and made a decision to take a walk somewhere. And got caught by the enemy, and therefore suffered for a number of years. I don't know how badly he was treated. I don't know that a lot of us know what his treatment actually was. I'm sure he wasn't treated very well. But
well, for one thing, for 3 months he was chained spread eagle on a bed and blindfolded for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Once a day, he was allowed to get up and use the bathroom. He was in a 6-foot by 6-foot metal cage. I mean, the facts are coming out. There is a huge. The Pentagon is good at investigating things, and the official investigation by General Dahl is still classified. But he's testified at preliminary hearings. He was terribly mistreated. So, so we can argue about, and I'm not sure that I take a position on whether he has suffered enough, but there were 4,800, I believe, deserters since 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, and none of them were sentenced to life in prison. So I think we ought to think twice about it. I think people ought to, and this is why I write, is so that people can argue about it and think about it. But right now the operating assumption in the military is we don't leave any soldiers behind.
And that's not a bad assumption, by the way.
It's not a bad assumption.
I agree with that.
We should never have, that Bergdahl should still be imprisoned by the Taliban in Afghanistan because he was stupid. I think ignore the larger picture of I think people in uniform make mistakes.
Yes.
And sometimes they get caught in bad circumstances, and you tell the truth about it, and you value their the fact that they were willing to put themselves in harm's way and put on the uniform, I think counts for something.
Well, it's going to be an interesting debate from that article, and it's going to be good conversation. Just a couple minutes left in this segment. One thing that I wanted to get to, and I actually had the pleasure of running into you at the Framingham Town Hall. Framingham has started the charter process of becoming a city, and I thought it was very important because your newspaper is based out of Framingham, to get your thoughts real quick about the Framingham First effort.
Well, I have congratulated them on their efforts to put this on the ballot and to get a very strong vote in favor of taking a good hard look at whether Framingham should, whether and how Framingham should change its form of government. Framingham's been through this process 4 times already, always ended up rejecting the recommendations of a charter commission, so I think everybody involved wants to break that string and come up with a plan that the whole community can get behind. We don't have nearly enough time to go over all the flaws that I see in the way Framingham Town Government is organized and all the missed opportunities along the way that can be traced to that, but there's a lot to talk about on that subject. This 9-member charter commission will be meeting every Monday for the next year, looking at different ways to come up with a better way of managing a community of 68,000 people.
What would you say would be the two or three biggest items? You know, like you said, we could be here all morning talking about what doesn't work, but what would you say the biggest deterrent are?
I think almost everybody agrees that town meeting is much too large, that some sort of a town council, a city council with maybe 9 or 12 members, some of them at large, some of them from neighborhoods, would be a much more effective legislative branch to have in place. I think everybody wants to see some level of professionalism in town management. The real fight will be over whether you get a mayor or not. I lean toward wanting to have somebody who speaks for Framingham. I think it's important to have a leader that can, whose job it is to tie together the many different neighborhoods and groups in as diverse a place as Framingham. So I think that'll be a big part of the discussion. Strong mayor, weak mayor, no mayor, voluntary mayor. There's a lot. It's a lot more complicated than just city versus town.
Yeah, they could still be a town, I believe, and have a mayor. I know
Franklin.
Franklin doesn't have a mayor, but they have they have a town council.
Yeah,
that is more like a city form. It's known as the city, known as the town of Franklin. The chair of the town council is sort of the titular head of the government, but mm-hmm. they also have a town manager who really controls things.
Yeah, I know my brother was actually a mayor of Ooliga, Oklahoma, population 732. But it was kind of funny. He was upset about a few things and ran for the town council, and then I think he was the youngest and the most energetic, and so they town council immediately elected him as mayor. So he became the spokesman for the small city or small town, excuse me, and had various mayoral duties of a very small town.
The distinction I've drawn on that just quickly is that, you know, right now we have a town manager in Framingham. He's the leader of the town government, but he's not the leader of the community.
Yeah, he's really an operations guy, isn't he? And that
right.
really
an operations good, guy doesn't yeah. live in town. He doesn't have his own political base or really the authority and the confidence of the community to take initiatives on his own and to reach beyond town government matters to things that are larger issues that might involve coordinating with the head of the Framingham State University or some of the other major employers in town. We're putting together things that are community-wide efforts, not just government operations.
Well, there are probably a couple of mayoral candidates that are on that charter commission. I think potentially Valerie Mulvey would be one, Dennis Giambetti, to name another, and there's maybe another one or two on there that probably have some desires to be the mayor.
Well, I think they may have. Some of them may have had the desire before. We're not sure whether they will in the future. There's some, there's been some sentiment that people on that commission ought to forswear running for office in the new government that they design. I don't know how I feel about that, but I think that's always sort of the subtext. But that's part of what makes city politics fun, is that people can talk about who the mayor is, whereas it's too excited talking about who the selectmen are.
Well, I think a lot of people that want to keep the town form of government just like the bragging rights that they're the largest town in Massachusetts, largest, probably one of the largest towns in the country.
Although I've argued that that's a pretty dubious distinction.
I'd agree.
I would agree wholeheartedly. Hey, we've got 2 minutes left with Rick Holmes from the Metro West Daily News. Rick, what do you think of those things that are popping up on the turnpike, every couple miles over the turnpike, the new transponders to track our movements? What are your thoughts on those?
Well, I'm not against technology. I'm watching very carefully to make sure that there is no hidden toll increase involved as they put these things in place. The question I have,
you know, there will be.
Well, I know that they will have to have some public hearings. The governor has said, Governor Baker has said there will be no increase, although it'll be figured differently because it's not exit by exit, it's mile by mile.
Yeah.
So, between 495 and the New York border, it's supposed to cost exactly the same, but it might vary for individuals who are getting off at the exits along the way. My question for MassDOT, and I hope to get an answer to this soon, is... are there going to be any signs on those things? Is there going to be anything on the pike that tells people that you've just been dinged for a toll and how much? Or is it all like, we won't see it, we just go under this metal thing and silently money gets sucked out of our bank account without anybody knowing it?
Well, or even worse, the people that don't have a transponder, and there will always be some that don't. So that's the mystery for those
folks.
They'll
get a bill in the mail, and you really ought to tell people.
Yep.
That's a great point. Hey, Rick Holmes from the Metro West Daily News, thanks for taking some time out of your Sunday morning to join us. We thoroughly enjoyed the conversation and hope to talk to you again real soon.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Hey, you too.
Have a great weekend.
You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN. We'll be back after the news.
I would walk 10 miles on my hands and knees. No doubt about it, baby, it's you I am the bees. I wrestle with the